The gospel for this All Saints Sunday comes to us from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to those of you who listen, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of our Lord. Before I begin the sermon, let me say how good it is to be back with you at Atonement. I've been here a couple of times in the years that I've served as bishop in the synod. I am amazed to see all of you here today after that full day of bizarre hosting. Thank you for good work on Saturday, good work today, and I'm sure work that continues on through the coming days as well. You probably know that the synod, the territory of the synod, way up north, Rush City is our northernmost congregation, first in Rush City. Randolph, St. Mark's in Randolph, which is just outside of Northfield, and right on the border of Dakota County, is our southernmost congregation. And in between, we have all of Ramsey and Washington County. So Chisago, Dakota, and in the middle, Ramsey and Washington. 112 congregations and mission starts. You are one of them. Please know that as a synod staff, we pray for several congregations each Wednesday in our staff meeting. You were much earlier in the year because your name begins with A. And now grace and peace to you from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who taught you? Who taught you to read, to rake leaves, to order food in a fancy restaurant? Who taught you how to pray? How to say, "I'm sorry," to budget your allowance, to drive a car? Who taught you that you could live through disappointments and failures and move through the many cycles of grief? We humans do not enter this world fully made. We all need to learn from others so that in time we become our fullest self. Now, today is All Saints Sunday, and the saints we celebrate include the great, the memorable, and also the ordinary people of God seated by us in these chairs and pews. Will you just take a look around? We're a gathering of saints. Friends, church is a place where we do remember those who have gone before us, including loved ones and friends who've died in recent months. Church is also the place where we celebrate the newest among us, including Saint Owen John. Parents, you remember that at about 3 a.m. when he is expressing through his well-blessed mouth what he thinks of life. But that's part of the work of the church to welcome in. But church is also where one generation helps the next learn what it means to live our lives in Christ. Now, a couple of minutes ago when I asked who had taught you some of those basic life skills, I'll bet many of you thought of parents or grandparents. That's how family life works, not only in this setting, but all around the globe. And I've known some great parents in my lifetime, including my own. They were pretty good. If you grew up with stable role models, with affection and understanding, you know what a great gift that is. Sadly, over the years, I've also encountered some negligent and abusive parents, and I know the terrible toll that places on a child's growing up. If that was your experience early on, I hope you found some other adults, including right here in the church, to mentor and to support you. But of all the many parents I've met and known through the years, I think I'm actually most grateful for those parents I have witnessed who've found the will to change their bad habits into good habits. Parents who became more attentive, more understanding a bit later in life. The father with the loud temper who was taken aback one day when he heard his young son imitating him and realized that was no way to raise a child. He worked to tame his speech and to address the frustrations that did make him angry a lot of the time. Or the mother, consumed by her insecurities and a lot of pressure in her job, who through a health crisis came to be a more relaxed parent and a better work colleague. And even as grandparents, I think some of you will vouch that you recognize you're doing a better job nurturing the grandchildren than you did the first time around with your own kids. And so that's one of the remarkable things about our human lives, is that we can come to a crossroad where we set off in a new direction. We're not prisoners of our old ways of being or interacting with others. In the Gospel of St. Luke, Jesus regularly stands at such crossroads, and he invites the crowds every time to listen to a fresh word from God. Now, in the text today, he speaks to his very closest followers, to the disciples. Now, these women and men were already religious insiders. They were the ones who showed up the day after the bazaar. They had grown up in the Jewish community of faith from early on, from birth. They had traveled with Jesus throughout the cities of Galilee. They had witnessed close up his power to heal and to restore the lives of those who were broken in body or mind or spirit. Because they were Jews, they knew what it meant to live as a religious minority within that huge Roman Empire. They knew that their values, their spirituality, their lifestyle, none of these were shared nor popular with most of their neighbors. They knew what it meant to be ridiculed or threatened simply because they worshiped their God. And so when Jesus speaks to them about those who are blessed and those who are not, they hear the kind of words that God has been saying to people of faith from the very beginning of time. The lives of those who are poor, those who are hungry today, those who grieve, and those excluded because of their religious practices are the ones blessed by God. From God's perspective, these are the important people. Even if the powerful elite of the day thinks such people have no status and no dignity. And woe, Jesus says, watch out. If you are rich today, filled with food and never missing a meal, enjoying the good times of life and praised by all, watch out. Not because a steady income or food or fun or even a good reputation are bad things in themselves, but watch out so that you don't start living just for yourself, turning away from the needs of others and tempted even to ignore the living God. Jesus goes so far as to describe a lifestyle that was decidedly countercultural in those days, even as it really goes against the popular grain today. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Pray for others. Give even when what is asked of you is unjust. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Go first. Don't wait on others to lead the way. Show mercy. Have compassion. Friends, Pastor Cassie tells me that you are entering into a season of stewardship, and this year, you're emphasizing financial first fruits. And I commend you because that's a truly biblical way of thinking about the economics of our own lives. And it's rooted in an ancient agricultural practice. You probably know this. There was a time when people literally brought the first fruits, the grains and the grapes and even the animals to the priest to provide for the religious well-being of the community. Well, I assure you, we don't need to live on farms today or even start bringing chickens and potatoes to church on Sunday morning to understand that our own generosity simply mirrors the generosity God shows to us all through our lives. When I was a young intern, fresh out of seminary, I was serving in a congregation about this size outside of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the fall that I was there as an intern, the church council decided to do an every member visitation so that absolutely every household would have an at-home visit from a leader of the congregation. And during the visit, the leader would talk about financial stewardship and giving. Buzz Bennett, a retiree who drove a school bus for some added income, came to visit me. Now, I'm pretty sure he had drawn the short straw because I was that really young intern with a whole lot of theological education. And I assure you, in those days, a fancy answer for just about any question that could be asked. There in my little apartment, the conversation started awkwardly. But then Buzz said something I remember to this day. God has never let me down, he said. God has never let me down. I may not have as much money as other people, but I know I can do my part. And the first check I write each month is my pledge to the church. Friends, it's 41 years later, and the first check I write each month is to the church. Today it was to your church. first fruits to the God who has never let me down. Through good times and bad, through seasons of uncertainty and unemployment, and seasons of tremendous and wonderful opportunities. That's not fancy seminary learning. That's simply the testimony of the ordinary saints of God from biblical times until today. So look around. We sit among the saints of God. And there's no telling how much good God will do through you as you work together in this coming year as a congregation, as a part of this synod, as members of a vast global church. I'm so excited about this model of shared ministry that you've created that links atonement and cross of glory together. In both congregations, you really have stepped forward in the confidence that God has a future for you. You have neighbors to serve. You have a whole generation of children to raise up in the faith. You have elders to care for. And friends, you have newcomers more than you imagine, newcomers to invite into this life in Christ. May you be blessed from beginning to end. Thanks be to God. Amen.